This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer here, riding out on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And it's just good to be back with you folks. We're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord is blessing and giving us grace to come out with the truth of God's Word day by day. And we don't hear much preaching or teaching on the revelation, do we? No, because men are afraid of it somehow or another, but I don't know why, but they are. And we're just coming here with a simple gospel message, bringing you the truth of God's Word day in and day out on the Old Trailblazer broadcast. We're bringing you this study, as I said, on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we were looking there at the church at Smyrna, the persecuted church. And let me go back and pick up where we were in our last study. Did you ever take your Bible and study, just meditate upon or feast upon the wealth of the born-again believer in Christ? That's what we were speaking of. Until all earthly things have paled away into insignificance. You know, we're so earthbound, aren't we? We're so taken up with everything in the world. But let's just be taken up with the Lord. All the riches and wealth that the believer finds and possesses is found in Jesus Christ, our crucified, buried, and risen Lord. In the 11th chapter of Romans, when Paul was grappling with the great plans and purpose of the Almighty God, he was made to cry out, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Then, in Romans 2:4, we find again Paul beholding the riches of Christ. He said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Oh, my believer friend, you may be under the hand of persecution, bound down, if you would, by the things of this world. Would that you could just fall at the feet of Christ now and revel in his goodness, the goodness of God, the riches of God. David said in Psalms 23 that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can you say that? I believe every believer can say that, my friend. Then in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul again, speaking of the believer, rose to one of the highest peaks when he lifted Christ up and said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." No wonder Christ said, "But thou art rich." Rich in the grace of God. Great grace rested upon them. But that's not all. We are told again about our riches in Christ in Ephesians 2:4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Still, that's not all. Listen again, Ephesians 2:7, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Then, that's not all. Listen, Ephesians 3:19, he says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth understanding," or passeth knowledge, "a love that took us from the garbage heap, the dung heap of the world, made us alive in Christ Jesus, and clothed us with a perfect righteousness, a love that adopted us into the family as sons of God and made us children of the King." And that's not all. Listen, in Philippians 4:7 we read, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding," peace in the midst of trials, peace in the midst of persecution, peace in the midst of all of those things that beset us. Let us run our hand through the treasure chest of our Lord to see what we find. Here we behold the diamonds of his goodness, the gold of his grace, the pearls of his mercy, the necklace of his love, the bracelet of his peace. What else do you want, believer? What else would you want to have? Let the world fade away. Take the world, if you please, but leave me the Lord. Leave me my Lord in all of his wealth and beauty and glory. He lives, and I live. It may be in rags. It may be in poverty. May be in want. But listen, so did he. But someday he will raise us up as heirs of the King to enter into the full inheritance of our blessed Lord. In that 10th verse, he said, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. He didn't promise them relief, no. He didn't do that. He told them to get ready to die. He also said, "Be thou faithful unto death." Listen, unto death, not until death. He said, "Be faithful unto death." And listen, that is to the end of their natural life, but unto death. Oh, listen, which means most of them were going to suffer martyrdom, and they did. But listen, he said, "My child, I will give thee a crown of life." That's the victor's crown. It doesn't matter what conditions we live in. Let us be faithful unto our blessed Lord. He was faithful unto us on the cross. He didn't shrink from death for us. He who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He was faithful unto death that we might live. He bore the shame of the sinner's cross. He became what we were in the sight of God, a poor lost sinner. Poor lost sinners. He bore our penalty, which was death, and became our substitute. As a result, God gave him a number for salvation which no man can number, which is his inheritance. And listen, then he turns around and says to us, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." That's the martyr's crown. Bless your heart, my friend. Sometime I wish that we knew what it was to suffer for Christ. Then we'd be more able to tell what the Lord has done for you and me. We are also told this crown that he promises is a crown of royalty, that it is a crown of a royal royalty victorious. It is a crown laden with spoils, the crown of added wealth. It is a crown of life. It is a crown given to one because he has won, the crown which he has obtained through severe conflicts. He is saying to these persecuted believers, and I believe he's saying it to you and me, fight on. Trust on, live on by looking to me as you pass through the darkness. On the other side, there's the light. He didn't hold out to them any relief from their suffering. Oh, we hear folks today complaining, suffering for this and suffering for that. They don't suffer patiently for the Lord. No, they want a quick fix. They want us pain, something to take away the suffering, somehow or another. He did hold up to them the crown of life that they would receive on the other side for being faithful. I wish that I had the language to make it clear, but may the Holy Spirit carry it home to every heart that the greatest thing in this life is to be saved, to be counted among the despised few and of the despised Christ of Calvary, no matter what it costs. I tell my folks here often, the greatest thing that ever happens to a poor lost sinner first is to be awakened to the fact that he's lost. Have you ever been lost, my friend? Have you ever been lost? Did you know the scripture says that no man cometh to the Son except the Father draws him? Then what is that drawing? It's that awakening showing that individual that he's lost. Oh, listen, we have gotten away from God's Word. We hardly hear anything of Holy Spirit conviction anymore. I hear Bible teachers and preachers on the radio at night, especially in the late hours of the night. They never mention Holy Spirit conviction. It's a lost doctrine. It's a lost, it's completely lost. It's like repentance. Repentance is a lost doctrine. I don't hear anybody talking about repentance, but my friend, no sinner ever comes to Christ until he's awakened to his lost condition. Folks criticize us here at Radio Missions, at the old Trailblazers. Folks call us the old crackpot. Folks wrote me the other day, a man wrote me and used some ugly language and called me some ugly name. But my friend, I'm just bringing you God's Word. And you know what he'll do? He'll just wake up in hell if he never repents. You don't criticize God's man. No, you don't criticize anyone. You pray for him. If he thinks I'm mistaken, he ought to call me and write me and say, "I'm praying for you, Trailblazer, that the Lord would open your eyes to the truth." No, he didn't. He just gave me some terrible language in an email and said I was a kind of a crackpot. But listen, I don't have the language to make it clear. Oh, but may the Holy Spirit carry it home to your heart. May the Holy Spirit carry it home that the greatest thing that ever happens to a poor soul. We have folks here now by the millions and billions on this earth who know nothing of saving grace. Only one here and one there that I talk to Only a few, my friend. The scripture says one place, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? And I believe there's far less. That few is going to be far smaller than you and I think. The Bible says the straight gate, the narrow gate leadeth to life everlasting. But what about the broad gate? Are you in the broad gate today? Are you in the narrow road, the narrow path? Listen, my friend. Listen, the Lord knows how to save a sinner. But did you know what? Folks don't want the gospel. I have folks by the dozens who do not want the gospel. They turn off the radio when the old Trailblazer comes on, or when some other faithful God's man comes on the radio speaking about the total depravity of man. Oh, man, folks don't want to hear about that we're totally depraved by nature. The scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. Do you folks out there think the Trailblazer is just making that up? No, that's God's word. He says there's none righteous, no, not one. If you don't believe that I'm telling you the truth, you go there and read the first two or three chapters of the book of Romans and see where it describes this situation that we're in now with the same-sex marriages and the homosexuals and the lesbian preachers and the women preachers, how that man has believed a lie, believed Satan's lie. And then it says, the Lord will send them a strong delusion. Did you know what? Everybody's not going to be saved, my friend. Everybody's not going to be saved. There's a misconception that everybody's going to be saved. Folks are putting it out now that there's no need for conversion no more, that everybody's going to heaven. Well, my friend, it's going to be a waking up day. It's going to be a strange day when, like the old rich man, he lifted up his eyes in torment, in hell being in torment, and he begged Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in a cool drink of water and tip it to his tongue. Have you ever been that thirsty? I have, working out there on the farm in the heat of the day. We had an old pitcher pump back there at the headland, and we'd go up there and pump that thing off and pump it till it got cool. It was ground temperature, of course, but it was cool to us. And to reach over there and cup your hand by that old pitcher pump and get you a good drink of water, my friend, that's what hell's going to be, longing for a drink, longing for a taste of water, cool, clear water. They have a song by that name. It's a gracious song. Cool, clear water. What they would give, what you will give one day to hear those words. Come on home, my son. Come on home. But maybe you'll hear those words. Depart from me, I never knew you. Won't that be an awful day? We sing that song, there's a great day coming. But the last verse says, there's a sad day coming when sinners shall be parted right and left. There'll be a sad day. That's a sad day, my friend. I wish I had more time. Would you write me and let me know that you're hearing these messages? We got, maybe 50 or 60 more of these studies on the Revelation. We're going to get to these seven churches. And this is the Church of Smyrna we're looking at now, the persecuted church, representing you and me who are persecuted by the world. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.